We wish Rabbi Reishel a refuah shleima. Rabbi Reishel, who comes to the shir every week.
I guess so, yesterday.
Yeah, he just had surgery, so we wish him a refuah shleima. He should feel better. We left off, I think, Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom. No?
Yeah.
Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta. Soita. Gemara Soita. Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom. Ketzad Ovi Yisraelis HaYardein. After Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, so Yishuv Benun was leading Klal Yisrael to cross over the Yarden to the western side to enter Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara explains that when they traveled in the Midbar, when they traveled in the Midbar the whole time, so it says in Parshas HaShavua, Nosar B'Haloischa, it says that there were four, there were 12 Shvatim, yeah, and the three Shvatim were one Machna, three Shvatim were another Machna, three Shvatim were the third Machna, and so on. And first, the Machna HaChayna Kedmo went first, and then the Machna from the south went next, and then the Orain went in the middle, and then the third and the fourth Machnas left. That's when they were traveling from one location to the other. So it says, B'chol Yoim, doesn't mean every single day, it means every single day when they were traveling. They weren't traveling
the
every single day.
Went away from the Mishkan.
When the Orin moved, when the Onan moved, and they had to move from one city to the other, Orin HaSeh Achashnei D'golim. First two machnas would go, and then the Orem would go, and then the last two machnas. V'hayom, when they crossed over the Yarden, the pasuk said beferish in Yeshua that there was a change in system. Nosa Trila, the Orem went first, and when the Kohanim who were carrying the Orem, and usually the Levim are supposed to be carrying the Orem, the Gemara says here was an exception to the rule that they had the Kohanim carrying the Orem. So when the Ragla Kohanim stepped into the waters of the Yarden, that's when the water split, and then everybody crossed over the Yarden, and then the Orem went first. And then the Raglei Kohanim was staying there, and then everybody passed by, and then the Kohanim went last. They went out of the Yarden last. Kolzman the Kohanim had their feet in the Yarden, so the water was split. So that's what the Brisa points out, that B'chol Yom, any day that they were traveling, first the two Golem went first, then the Orem went in the middle. Shenema Behine Aaron. And on this occasion, Hayom Nasa Tchila, the Orem went first. Shenema, Hine Aaron Abris Adon Kol Horetz Oyvel Lefnechem. Oyvel Lefnechem was going first. The Orem Abris was going first.
Not only going first, but they stayed in the Yarden all the time.
The Raglei Kohanim stayed in the Yarden until everybody crossed
with the Orem.
With the Orem, yeah.
Holding it on the shoulders all this time.
Yeah, a long time.
Oh, Noisayas, Noisof.
Then another difference was B'chol Yom V'Yom, whenever. Well, there weren't too many Kohanim?
Yeah.
Okay. There were very few.
You needed four only.
Aaron passed away.
That's all.
Whatever children they had, yeah. There weren't too many. Yeah. Yeah. The Gemara says that it was a nest, that the Kohanim who carried the Aaron didn't feel the weight. They were carried by the Aaron. Yeah. So it says B'chol Yom V'Yom, every day when they traveled in the Midbar, Levim Nosim Es Ha'oren. That was a special day in the Midbar. Levim had to carry the Aron. That's why the Levim had to.
Shavit Kohos.
Yeah. That's why the Levim had a forced retirement at the age of 50. And the Dora is that the Levim don't carry the Aron. The Aron sits in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the role of the Levim is only to sing in the Beis HaMikdash in conjunction with the Nisach HaYayin of the Karbonis and to lock the gates and open the gates. So there the Gemara says in Chulin that there is no retirement age of 50. The retirement age of 50 was only Haruah Shoah for the 40 years when they were traveling in the Midbar because they had to schlep the Aron. So that was heavy. And the Dora, there is no such thing. So it says, B'chol Yom V'Yom, whenever they were traveling the 40 years, Levim Noisim Es Aron, V'Yom, when they crossed over the Yarden, Nasu HaKohanim Shenem, V'Yom Kenuach Kapas Raglei HaKohanim Nasi Aron Hashem. It says the Kohanim were carrying. Tanya Rabbi Yosi Yom, there's another Tosefta that points out, there were three times when there was a special Hayrasha, the whole thing was a Hayrasha,
yeah.
That you have Levim carrying the Aron. The Doris, you don't have any such concept of carrying the Aron, sits in the Kodesh HaKodashim. So all 40 years there was a Hayrasha that Levim should carry. And then was a Hayrasha on top of Hayrasha, then on three occasions of the 40 years, Davke Kohanim should carry. When was that? So one was Kishavas HaYarden, on this occasion, the days of Yishuv Benom, where they crossed over the Yarden. The next one was Kishehisibos Yericha, when they encircled Yericha every day. And then on the seventh day was Shabbos, they went around seven times, and the walls came tumbling down. Yeah, and then later was Kishech Zirulam Kamad, that was later. That wasn't
Badovit,
the...
Right?
Yeah. That was later. Tosis here poses a kasha, the bottom Tosis, Sheikh Zirulam Komo. It says when they brought back the Orain,
oh.
Rashi gives you the whole history. In the days of Eli, they used to take the Orain out to Melchama, and the Plishtim captured the Orain. Right. So everybody was heartbroken. And then the Plishtim were suffering because they had the Orain, so they wanted to get rid of it. They realized that the God of the Jewish people is Makbid, why they captured his Orain. So they sent it back to the Eden. So what did they do with it? Kshechziru aplishtim, Rashi writes, there was no Mokum Kavua because Mishkan Shiloh had already been destroyed. So Rashi gives you the whole history from the Psukim and Novi. It was Beves Avinoda for a while, then it was Beves Oved Edomagiti for a while, and then they brought it back to here, David, but there was no Beis HaMikdash yet. So finally when Shlomo Melch built the Beis HaMikdash, then they brought it into the Kodesh HaKodashim where it belongs. So on that occasion, when they brought it in, that's called Hechziru Dem Komo. When they took it back to, it wasn't in the Kodesh HaKodashim.
No, it's never taken out, out from there.
They just built Beis HaMikdash. But that's the correct Mokum. Rashi says, Wu Kari Mekai Maham Yuchad.
David HaMelech moved it, right? He tried to move it.
Yeah,
HaMelech wanted to move it. Who's he?
Who's
he? So who is carrying it then?
The
VM. No,
it
was on a wagon.
On a wagon, right.
A wagon.
Yeah. That's why it was...
He thought it was going
to fall. He thought it was going to fall.
Uzo thought it was going to fall, yeah.
Yeah.
So who's carrying it then?
It wasn't
was
carrying
it. On a wagon? No wagon. One was carrying it, yeah. Yeah.
This
is in the Midbar that they had to carry it, because if you saw that was a Hirasha for the 40 years. After the Midbar was over, they had Mishkan Shiloh, so the Aron sat in the Kodesh HaKodashim, so no one was traveling. So this special din that you have Levim carry, that Hayrasha was over. No more schlepping the Aron around. Then there was a special Hayrasha on three different occasions that Yini Davke Kohanim. So Hechziru Lam Kama, when they brought it back, when the first Beis HaMikdash was built, and Shlomo HaMelech instructed they should bring the Aron into the Kodesh HaKodashim, that was done by the Kohanim. So that's what the Gemara says. The Tosis is bothered with Akasha. That story is described in Sefer Melachim as well as in Sefer Dirayamim.
Yeah.
So in Melachim it says Taka that the Kohanim brought it back. They brought it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim when Shlomo Melech built the Vice Rishon. And in Divrei Hayomim, Tosis says, Frek Tosis Vikasho HaBedirayamim Ksiv Ayisu HaLevim Es HaAron. Says the Levim carried it. Doesn't say Kohanim carried it. Stachastira and Novi. Here it says Melachim the Kohanim carried. There it says the Levim carried. And for Tosfos that there is a Gemara. The Gemara says that there are 24 places in Tanakh, B'chof Da'al and Mekaymas in Tanakh Nikru Kohanim Levim. There are 24 places in Tanakh where it says Levim did something, and it really means the Kohanim did it. Doesn't really mean the Levim. It means it's referring to Kohanim. So Tosfos says this is one of the 24 places. This is taka a problem in Halacha. All the Kohanim come from Shevet Levi. Obviously, all the Kohanim are Levim. That's why the Gemara makes such a comment. The Gemara Chulim makes that statement. B'chav Tal Mekam is Nikru Kohanim Levim. The 24 places in Tanakh, some are Chumash. Uvo Levi B'chalav is Nafshe. It's not talking about a Levi. It's talking about a Kohen. So every so often you have 24 places in Tanakh. You have Psukim where it says Levi, and it doesn't really mean a Levi. It really means a Kohen who is a member of Shevet Levi. So there's really a stira between various Gemaras. Are all of the Kohanim also Levim? Or do you say no? A coin is Nishka Levi. A coin is a coin, is not a Levi. So there's a... How can it be? Of course the coin... So there's a din by Pidyon HaBen. If a coin is married, a coin or a Levi is married, and they have a firstborn son, so there's no need, there's no mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. That there's no need. Even if you want to volunteer,
you can't do it.
You can't do a mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. If the baby that's born is either a coin or a Levi, so there's no Pidyon HaBen. What if the father of the baby is not a Kohen, not a Levi, but the mother is a Kohen, so a Levi. So the Gemara says, learns out from a Pasuk, Also, there's no pidyon aben. Why? Because the peter rechem tala rachmanis. Since the mother, it depends on the mother's firstborn child. It doesn't depend on the father's firstborn child. It depends on the mother's firstborn child. So the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that if the mother is either a kohenus or a leviyo, so there's no pidyon aben. So the Gemara says, what if a woman is a kohenus and she's married to a nochri? A goy. A woman is a kohenus, she's married to a nochri. So the Gemara has it in, a kohenus is permitted to eat truma. But if the kohenus is nivola to a goy, the kohenus lives with a goy, even if he's nensa, not only if she does out of her own free will, even if she was attacked, she was raped by a nochri, by an eved, akum, cholol, mamzer, nosin, so she becomes ois kohenus. Nivola the pasla psala, she becomes ois kohenus, she's not allowed to eat the truma. So the Gemara says, what would be the din over here? A Jewish woman is married to a non-Jewish man. A Jewish woman, a kohenus, is married to a goy, or a kohenus was attacked by a goy. And then later on, she has a baby boy. So the Gemara says she's ois kohenus, and when the baby is born, you need pidyon aben. What if you would have a leviya, is living with a goy? So the Gemara says you don't have such a din. The leviya is living with a goy, retains the din of leviya. And when the baby is born, even though the baby is Nishkanlei because the father is a Yisrael, or let's say a goy, in that case, if she's married to the goy, so the Gemara is from Sukkim like that a kohenis who's nivelus to a goy loses a kedushas kuna, and a leviya who's nivelus to a goy does not lose kedushas leviya. So Tosis frekta akashas, every kohenis is a leviya. So fine, she lost the Kedushas Kehuna, but she should retain the Kedushas Leviyah. So the children should be potter from Pidyon HaBen because their mother's a Leviyah. So Tosfos says, you see from this Gemara, that whoever is a Kohen is Nishkan Levi. A Kohen is a Kohen is Nishkan Levi. So what do you do? The Gemara says, B'chav Talib Mekam is Nikur Kanam Levim. And Stam doesn't make sense. How can you say Kohen is not a Levi? Of course he's a Levi. Of course he's a Levi.
She's a Kohen. But the child was born, he's carrying the
kohuna.
He's Jewish.
No. In order to be a kohen, have to be mishpachas kohuna. So that's
the
mishpachosim leveis avosim. Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
Even she's married to Yisrael. Even she's married to Yisrael, not a kohen.
That kind of
is
not a Yisrael.
The child is a Yisrael. Yeah, the child is a Yisrael. Is nishkan kohen. But if it would have been, if the mother would have been a Leviya, the child would have not required pidyon aben. Yeah. Now that the mother is a kohenes, or kohenes is nivolo l'pasolo, kohenes is nivolo to akum or acholol or an eved or mamzer, becomes ois kohenes, and she's not a Leviya, so the child will need pidyon aben. But if the mother would have been a Leviya, and she's living with a goy or married to a goy, one or the other, so then she retains a din of Leviya, and then the child will not need pidyon aben. So a Gemara in Pcharis, so a din in Shulchan Aruch, so a funny din.
You mentioned
in Kiddushin that mitzvahs
Bein
al
Ha'av
is
Pidyon
HaBen.
There's no father. The father's a Gentile. Why does the
Lord
Pidyon
HaBen
apply?
The Gemara says in Kiddushin that the father has an obligation to perform the Bris Mila on his son. The father doesn't do the bris milah, so the bezin has an obligation to see to it that they take care of the bris milah. The bezin doesn't take care of it, so kol adam Yisrael. Everyone has an obligation. And if no one took care of it till the boy becomes bar mitzvah, then he himself has to arrange for his own bris milah. Then the same price it continues. The father has an obligation to take care of the pidyon aben of his son. If the father didn't take care, then when the child reaches bar mitzvah, he has to take care of his own pidyon aben. So here there's no father. The father's a goy, the father can't do the pidyon aben. So the child will have to do his own pidyon aben. The question is why by bris milah you have four steps. The father has the obligation to see to it that they do a bris milah. If the father doesn't do, bezin has to do. Bezin doesn't do, then kol Yisrael should do it. The third stage, no one took care of it yet, so then when the child becomes bar mitzvah, he has to take care of his own bris. How come by the pidyon aben they go from one to four, they skip the two in the middle?
Maybe that's a bubble, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it costs money, so you don't have to run a bird people.
Bris costs also money.
Yeah. So the Ramah.
Make a big bagels and watch.
So the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quotes a Rivash, a Chuvas a Rivash. The Rivash makes this deal from the Gemara that the two are in the same brisa, and by contrast, it would appear that by Pidyon HaBen, you only have the first and the fourth, you don't have the second and the third stages. So he says this Chiddush, that when you have a child and there's no father to speak of, either the father's not alive, or the father's left the mother, he's divorced, and he's not around, he can't get him, he's not religious, a goy, whatever the case happens to be. So the Rivosh quoted by the Rama says, no one else can do Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen has to be done either by the father,
or by
the child himself when he reaches the age of Bar Mitzvah. And the Shach says he's very surprised. Why not? What is Pidyon HaBen? Ha'pareya chovish al chavera. You owe money to the Kohen. So the Mishnayos talk about someone owes money and someone else is a good Samaritan and he volunteers to pay the money. So you have a Mishnayos like that. Ha'pareya chovish al chavera. So why shouldn't it work over here? So that's what the Vilna Gaon is masig on the Shulchan Aruch. When the Rama quotes this Rivosh, he writes Ayin Shach. Ayin Shach means that the Shach disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch and he sides with the Shach. So in Lithuania, Rav Soloveitchik said, the Aruch HaShulchan writes like that also. The Minig, he thinks that is the Minig. Rav Soloveitchik thought also, he thinks that the Minig was like the Vilna Gaon. Like the Shach. Shach lived in Vilna also. Vilna Gaon lived in Vilna. He thinks that the Minig was in Vilna. When you had a Yosem, or you had a, they didn't have a father's a Goy.
Yeah.
They weren't so progressive to think of such a Shach. The father's a Goy and the mother's a Kohenet. Yeah. So he said the meaning is that the Bezin does the Pidyon HaBen.
Contrary to the Mishnah. Contrary to the Braisa.
Contrary to the Mashmoyos of the Braisa. The way the Rivosh made the deal. And in other parts of the world, in Galicia and in Hungary, they would follow the Chasam Sofer that the Pischi Tshuva quotes, that you do Pidyon HaBen twice. The Bezin does it when the child reaches the age of 31 days, Bali Brocha. That's what he do by Yosem. Of the father, the parents got divorced and the father disappeared somewhere. So what do you do with Pidyon HaBen? So in Hungary and in Galicia, the meaning was like the Chasam Sofer, that they did Pidyon HaBen twice, both times without a bracha. The Bezin should do Pidyon HaBen on Yom Lamed Aleph, Bli bracha, and then the child should repeat the Pidyon HaBen when he reaches the age of Bar Mitzvah, because of this suffix. Because the Rivosh had this Shtikol Torah, Chiddush, based on the Mashmos of the Braisa, that whenever there's no father doing Pidyon HaBen, you can't have someone else do the Pidyon HaBen. He apparently thinks that Pidyon HaBen is not called a Piron HaChoyv. It's not that I owe money to the Kohanim. If it would just be Piron HaChoyv, someone else can do the Piron HaChoyv on my behalf also. Pidyon HaBen is a mitzvah nesina. So the mitzvah nesina has to be done by the right person. You can't say it's a Piron HaChoyv. It's very difficult. The Gemara says, Me'ikir Adin, you can do Pidyon HaBen and Matanam Anas Lahachzir. If I owe, let's say, $10,000 to the bank, and I'll come and I'll give them $10,000, I'll say, I'm paying up to Chayv Matanam Anas Lahachzir. The bank is not going to go for that. That's a double poshet. That's not considered. That doesn't constitute Piron HaChayv. I give you Matanam Anas Lahachzir. So here the Gemara says, Beferish and Kiddushin. Me'ikir Adin, Pidyon HaBen can be done with a Matanam Anas Lahachzir, but we don't allow it because it's not proper. But if you yoytzed Pidyon HaBen, if you give matanah, so it's a dead giveaway. Rabbi Chanan Asimov points out, it's a dead giveaway that it's not a piron achoyt. It's a mitzvah nesina. So that's what the Rivosh holds, that the nesina has to be done by the right person. You have the wrong person doing the nesina, so it's not called a mitzvah nesina.
Is it part of Matnas Kahuna?
One of the Chavdalid Matnas Kahuna. Yeah. The Gemara says that there are more than 24 Matnas Kahuna. So the Rishonim have different opinions. How did the Tanoim, which ones did they squeeze together to get to the sum total of 24? But the Gemara talks about 24 Matnas Kahuna. So one of them is the Pidyon HaBen, for sure. Pidyon HaBen. Yeah. So this is a steering Gemara. Obviously the Kohanim are Levim. And then you have this Gemara by the Pidyon HaBen story, where the Tosis points out on the Gemara that a Kohenis is Nishken Leviyah. A Kohenis who's living with a Goy loses her din Kahuna. She's not called a Kohenis anymore. And by the time the baby's born, she's always Kohenis, so the baby will need Pidyon HaBen. Who's going to do the Pidyon HaBen? That'll be a Shaila, whether the child should do the Pidyon HaBen when he reaches Bar Mitzvah, or the Bezin should do it right away on the Yom Laman Aleph. But you do Pidyon HaBen. But if it's a Leviyah who's living with a Goy, who was Nivola to a Goy, she retains the Kedushas Leviyah, so her son, Nishken Levi, but her son will not need Pidyon HaBen because it's a Petarechem of the mother, and the mother was a Leviyah. So you see from that Gemara that a Kohenis is not a Leviyah, a Kohen is not a Leviyah. So which is it? A Kohanim Leviyim or not? Rav Kahana used to collect Pidyon HaBen money in the schus of his wife. He was not a Kohen. His name was Kahana, he was not a Kohen. So his wife was, he was married to a Kohenis. He was married to a Kohenis. So that Gemara says that the Pinyan HaBen may be collected by a Kohenis, by a Bas Kohen can collect Pinyan HaBen. Yeah. The Gemara rather doesn't say that. The Gemara says the Rav Kahane took Zerah L'Chayayim V'Hakeva because he was married to a Kohenis. Tosis extends it to Pinyan HaBen also. That's Tosis Chiddush. And Mishnah Amel points out that the Rambam doesn't agree. The Rambam thinks that you're not Yotze Pinyan HaBen if you give it to a Kohenis. You have to give it Davke to a male Kohen. But the Zerah L'Chayayim V'Hakeva, that's a Gemara. That's a Beferish Gemara. That even if the Kohenis is married to a non-Kohen, she can still take Zerah L'Chayayim V'Hakeva, and the husband can take on behalf of his wife, yeah. He can take the Zerah L'Chayayim back here.
It's a big issue, but she can't eat
truma.
Gaz Cohen is married to an Israel can't eat truma, but she can eat Zerah L'Chayayim?
Yeah, Zerah L'Chayayim back here may be eaten by anybody.
Yeah.
But the only question is, are you eating in the mitzvah's nesina when you give it to a Bas Cohen? So the Gemara says yes, you give it to Zerah L'Chayayim back here.
What about truma? You can also give it to Kehenes by yourself?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Truma, yes.
Yeah, so you can give all the Matnas Kehuna to a Kehenes, no? All the Matnas Kehuna?
No. The Rambam distinguishes some yes and some no.
So the Bas Kohen can get it?
It's based on the whole issue, Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah Melech points out that it's a Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. Would one be Yotzei Mitzvahs, today it's probably a hot topic, Yotzei Mitzvahs Pidyon HaBen if you give to a Bas Kohen?
Right.
Yeah. So Tosfos says you are Yotzei, and the Rambam holds that you're not Yotzei. Uh-huh. So Mishnah Melech just points out Machlokes is Tosfos in the Rambam. Rabbi Kiveger on Yerideya on the bottom of the page points out it's just the dependent on two opinions in the Gemara and the end of Chulin. That makes it a little boring. Say Machlokes Rambam and Tosfos something new. Rabbi Kiveger just says no, it's two opinions in the Amoraim. It's a Machlokes the Rambam and Tosfos. Which opinion to accept? Because Gemara there discusses which dinim apply to Kohenes. Which dinim do not apply to a Kohenes? When does a Bas Kohen have the same din as a Kohen? Eating Truma, yes. And giving Zerah L'Chayayim V'Hakeva, yes. But what about Truma? What about giving Pinyan HaBen money? So Rabbi Kiveger just says it depends on the 2 days in the Gemara. How do you determine which mitzvahs kuna can be done by Kohanos and which cannot be done?
Only the father's Kohen goes automatically to the son. The wife is a Kohen, you don't apply to the son.
Right. That's based on the pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar. It says Lemishpachosam Leves Avosam. So the Gemara points out there are two kinds of kurva, two types of relationship. There's a kurva that's referred to as Sher Basar, and there's a kurva that's referred to as Mishpacha. So Mishpacha is only Mishpachas Av Kriyim Mishpacha, Mishpachas Eimene Kriyim Mishpacha. All the relatives on my mother's side, it's Sher Basar. It is called Sher Basar, but it's not called Mishpacha. Mishpacha is only from the father's side. So the Pesukim refer to Mishpachas Kehuna. In order to be a Kohen, you have to belong to Mishpachas Kehuna. So that's why it depends Davka on the father. And even if the father's a Goy, and the child is not related to the father, would always still say, Mishpachas Eimene Kriyim Mishpacha, even in such a case, the child will not be a Kohen. Only for Pinyan HaBen purposes. If the mother's a Leviyah and the father's a Goy, so then the halacha says that the mother is a Leviyah, even though the child is not a Levi, but since it's a Peterechem of an Isha Leviyah, so then there's no mitzvah Pinyan HaBen. If the mother would have been a Kohenes who married a non-Kohen, so fine. So at the time that the baby is born, the mother's a Kohenes, so there's no Pinyan HaBen. But if the mother was Nivola to a Goy, then she becomes Ois Kohenes. So then you need Pinyan HaBen for the baby. The baby's neither a Kohen nor is he the child of a Kohenis at the time of birth. She used to be a Kohenis, but she lost the Kedushas Kuna when she lived with the Goy. She loses it. So this is the Shaila, whether Kohanim or Levim. So I think that what's usually assumed is that Kohanim, there are two concepts of Leviyah. There's Shevet Levi and there's Kedushas Levi. Two different things. So Shevet, every Kohen belongs to Shevet Levi. That's for sure. So Bechoptal Bekohim is Nikro Kohanim Levim is correct. You can refer to all the Kohanim as Levim in the sense that they all belong to Shevet Levi.
Don't we have the same thing by a Kohen that marries a Chalala or something and the son is not a Levi either? But he has to be Israel, right?
Okay. That is correct. That is correct. That'll happen off Kamina. One minute. Okay. So there are two different aspects. That'll be Negei La'alocha. There's one aspect of Shevet Levi, there's another aspect of Kedushas Levi. in order to be allowed to sing the Nigunim in the Beis HaMikdash, or play the music, or lock the gates, you have to be Dafke a Levi with Kedushas Leviya, not Tam Shevet Levi. So we say all Kohanim are Levim in the sense they belong to Shevet Levi. But Kohanim do not have, whoever has Kedushas Kuna does not have Kedushas Leviya. They're two separate things. So the girl who is a Kohenis, and she's Nivela to a Goy, so she loses Kedushas Kuna, and Kedushas Leviya she never had in the first place. And the Mela, when the by the time the first baby is born, she's Nishkin Kohanis, Nishkin Leviya. That's why the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanoim in the second Perek in Ksubis, and it's Machlokes Rabbi Kiva, Rav Loza ben Azar. It says in the Chumash that the farmer has to be Mafresh Trumas and Maisris, and give away the Truma he has to give to the Kohanim. It's one of the Choptal and Matan's Kohuna, and he has to give the Maisrishin to the Levim. So the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanoim. Are you Yoitze the Mitzvah of Nisinas Maisrishon if you give it to a Kohen? You're supposed to give it to a Levi. But Kohanim Alevim. So if you Ezra made a penalty.
The Gemara says, so
the Gemara presents like this: Ezra made some kind of a penalty because Ezra was schlepping people from Bovel to come back to the Beis Hamikdash, and then they stopped by a river. It says they stopped by a river, and then they started to take a poll: how many Levim do they have? And they weren't simply there were not enough Levim to run a Beis Hamikdash. So what's the whole tachlis of going back? Got to finish the building of the Beis HaMikdash. They don't have enough Levim to man the Beis HaMikdash. He made everybody wait there. He schlepped back to Bovel, and he schlepped more Levim to come to be able to run the Beis HaMikdash. On that occasion, he was so upset at the Levim, so he made a penalty because the Levim were more frum than everybody else. The Frum didn't want to go on Zionism. That's what happened. Yeah. The Mishnah says, "Asorah."
Huh?
The Hamoinam did come. The Halolim and the Gerim and the Mamzerim and the Nesinim, all of Zulik called it. Okay. No, that's the Mishnah. Asorah Yotzen Olam Yibavah. So the Gemara says, all the Frum Yidin with the good Yichas, they all stayed behind. They didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the people who went to Eretz Yisrael were those who had the Shvacha Yichas. So the. So the Levim were from the Frum Erlich Yidin. They had the big Yichas. They didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Ezra made a penalty that instead of giving the Maaserishin to the Levim, we should give it to the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, what exactly was the penalty? It's very unclear. So the Gemara says, it depends. What's the Din D'Oraisa? You have to first know what's the Din D'Oraisa in order to understand what the penalty is. So the Gemara says, there is a Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lozem and Azariah. When the Torah says you give Maaserishin to a Levi, does it mean you only give it to a Levi? If you give it to a Kohen, you're simply not Yotze. That's how we pass it. If you give it to a Kohen, you're simply not Yotze. The mitzvah on the level of their Isis. So Ezra made a penalty that is optional. You can either give to a Levi or give to a Kohen. Whereas that's if you're like Rabbi Akiva, that Maaserishin is only given to Levim and not to Kohanim. Whereas according to Rabbi Lozem and Azari, B'chof Dalim Mekav Miznikru Kohanim Levim, that's the Gemara in the second Perek in Ksubis quotes this memra. To explain why Rabbi Lozem and Azari holds it, Minatur Yoyt say, if you give Maaserishin either to a Kohen or to a Levi. So what was the penalty of Ezra? The penalty was that you should only give to the Kohanim, not give to Levi. So the Gemara understands the penalty, the Knas of Ezra. Knas of Ezra is very unclear, and when you look in Sefer Ezra, it doesn't really say that he made a Knas. That's what Tosis points out. They had a tradition that there was a Knas. So what exactly was the penalty? So the Gemara says it depends. How did you understand what the Din D'Oraisa was? Depending on what the Din D'Oraisa was, that's how you'll determine what the Din D'Rabbanan was. So using the terminology that we just said now, that Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi, so that at least it gives you a definition of what the Machlekes HaTanoim is. Machlekes are Akiva and Ablaz Manazariah. Are you in fulfillment of the mitzvah of giving away the Maaserishin to the Levi if you give it to the Kohen? Are you Yotze the mitzvah? So one Tana holds a mitzvah is to give it to a Levi who has Kedushas Leviyah. So you have, that means Dafka Levi, a Kohen doesn't have Kedushas Leviyah. The other Tana says, no, you give it to anyone from the Shevet, Levi is Genuk. So now there's a Prima Godim, has in Yeridaya, when they talk about Zerola Chayayim HaKeva, so the Prima Godim writes an interesting Chiddush, that if a Kohen, let's say, marries a Grusha, and all the children are Halolim, so the Halolim do not have Kedushas Leviyah, so would they have the din of the Halolim don't have Kedushas Kahuna? Do they have a din of Levi or not? So the Prima Godim thinks that they belong to Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. He splits. He thinks they belong to Shevet Levi. No. Sofka Sof, the father's from Shevet Levi.
So they can't get the second Aliyah.
Yeah, that's right.
What about the children? The children with pain, or they also lose it?
No, once someone is a challah, challah means empty. Empty. A challah is permitted to be metamil lemeisim. A challah is permitted to marry a grusha. Challah means empty. That's from kedushas kuna. A balmum is not so. A balmum has kedushas kuna, but he's puzzled to do avoda. But he can eat truma. He can eat kachikachim. As a din of a kohen, he's not allowed to be metamil lemeisim. He's not allowed to marry a grusha. But a challah means empty, empty, like challah means vacuum. Empty it out from Dusha's kuna.
What's up with the Dalton Levium we have a bright end in Bamid? The Mishnah says he's separate, he's taking the Levium away from every, and he's mounting them, he's separating them. How is he separating them? If it's not for both in Kedusha, both as a shape?
To have a special deal.
Yeah.
That there are certain avodas in the Beis HaMikdash, they can only be done by Levim. Mm-hmm. Kohanim are not allowed to do avodas HaLevim.
Yeah. So then how can we say that Kohen can become part of a Levi? He's part of a Levi. He
separated the Levim from the rest of Klal Yisrael. Then he separated the Kohanim from amongst the Levim. Yeah. But every Kohen is also a member of Shevet Levi. And Taisis points out they don't have Kedushas Levi. A Kohen only has Kedushas Kuna, does not have Kedushas Levi. But Shevet Levi he is. It's the Hechrechi, Shevet Levi.
Maisavishan
goes to Shevet Levi or Kedushas Levi? Maisavishan. That's the Machlaik the Shabbat Kiva, Rabbi Azariah. Are you Yoitse on the level of the Raisi before you get to the penalty of Ezra? Before the Knas of Ezra. So Rabbi Kiva says you're only Yoitse if you give to a Kohen. You give to a Levi, you're not Yoitse in a Torah. And the knas of a Levi was, he made it optional. If you want, you can either give to a Kohen or to a Levi. And Rabbi Lozman Manazai holds not that Minatari you can be Yotza by giving to a Kohen. Mm-hmm. And the knas of Ezra was, you should only give to a Kohen. You shouldn't give to the Levium at all.
No, but Ezra was to give to the Levium, not to the Kohanim.
Not to give to the Levium. Not penalize the Levium. Penalize the Levium, yeah.
According to that opinion where it says you can give it to a Kohen, my submission, Brother Kiva said that?
Rabbi Lozman Manazai holds
that you can give it to a Kohen.
Either a Kohen or a Levi.
How does he justify Trumas Maisa? Maisa, you give it to Levi, Maisa, Maisa, you have to give 10% to a Kohen.
The Kohen himself.
All right.
Okay.
The Kohen does it and eats it. And okay. Eats the rest.
The Kohen is Mafresh Maisa and a Maisa. And that he has to eat the Kedusha of a Tahara like Truma Gedayla. And the other 90% of the Maisa Rishon he eats, he can eat in the state of Tuma. The Pasuk says. Anybody can eat it.
He has to give a gift to himself. He can give a gift to himself.
Yeah.
If a coin, has a field,
farmer. Yes, the coin is a farmer.
He gets a truma from himself.
It's mafresh truma, so he keeps it. Yeah. The shaila is if the coin is mafresh truma, and he keeps it, means that he's only mechuyev in hafrasha, is not mechuyev in asina. Oh no, he is mechuyev in asina, but he gives to himself.
Yeah.
He's yaitzev by giving to himself. That's the shaila. So here there's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam writes, if a Levi has a farm in Eretz Yisrael, if a Levi has a farm and is Mafrish Maiserishin, he keeps it for himself, right? So what's the pshat? A Levi is only Mechuyev in Hafrosh and not Mechuyev in Esina, or he gives it to himself. So the Rambam writes, Min HaTorah, the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Kiva, Min HaTorah, you only Yotze Maiserishin if you give it to a Levi. Give it to a Kohen, you're not Yotze. Nonetheless, the Rambam writes, Min HaTorah, if a Kohen has a farm, he's only mechuyev to be mafrish maiserishin. He doesn't have to give it away to a Levi. So he can't say that he gives it to himself.
Yeah.
The Rambam holds that you cannot yotze Min HaTorah if you give maiserishin to a Kohen. And still he writes Min HaTorah, if a Kohen has a farm, he's mechuyev to be mafrish maiserishin, he can keep it. So you see that the Rambam understands if a Kohen or a Levi has a farm, they're only mechuyev in afrosha of maiser, they're not mechuyev in asina. The Rambam doesn't hold that you're giving to yourself.
Yeah.
Taisus in a few places writes beferish. No, the Kohen gives the truma to himself, and the Levi gives the maaserishin to himself. The Ritva writes like that also. And the Rambam, the Minchas Chinuch points that the Rambam holds not so. The Rambam holds that you're not yotze if you give maaserishin to a Kohen. You're not yotze min haTorah. And nonetheless, min haTorah, if a Kohen has a farm, he can keep his own maaserishin. Mm-hmm. He can't say he's yotze by giving to himself. You're not yotze if you give to a Kohen.
Well, when the scene is miyad liyad, it goes from one to another. It's like, because you give from the right hand to the left, and you're not giving anything.
Right, right. That's why there's an objection to the way Taisus presents it.
I understand.
Right?
According to Rambam, the only form of Kohen, I don't make upstairs, one pocket to another pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
Vice versa. He has to give. He can't give. So he has to give for a lady.
No, the Rambam writes, if a Yisrael is a farmer and is mafresh ma'aser rishon, he must give it mena Torah to a lady. You're not yet to give to a kohen before the penalty of Ezra. And nonetheless, the Rambam writes mena Torah. If a kohen has a farm and is mafresh ma'aser rishon, he keeps the ma'aser rishon. So he can't say that he's yotze by giving it to himself. The Rambam passing is like Rabbi Kiva. If you give ma'aser rishon to a kohen, you're not yotze mena Torah.
Yeah.
So still, the Rambam understands that the nature of the din is if a kohen has a farm, he's only mechuyev in afroshes ma'aser rishon, not mechuyev in nesina. Not that you yotze the nesina by keeping it for yourself. You're not mechuyev in nesina. Tosfos and the Ritva say not so. That the kohen can only keep the ma'aser rishon if you are like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that you can either give ma'aser rishon to a kohen or a levi. So if the kohen has a farm, so he gives the ma'aser rishon to himself. He has a tovus hanor. So he keeps the ma'aser rishon for himself. But the Rambam writes not so.
How did the Rambam understand Ezra's knas?
The Rambam, first of all, the Rambam writes Ezra konasas halavim shebedoro. The Rambam writes that the penalty was only the levim who lived in that generation. He was penalizing the levim for not coming back to Eretz Yisrael.
But they were yotze, but if they do the ma'aser rishon to a kohen, they're not yotze to the mitzvah.
Yeah.
So how does Ezra have the koach to be over that mitzvah?
But he also penalizing the levim that went to Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. The levim and chutz lords are not around to get the ma'aser rishon. That's a very strong question. That's a very strong question. Yeah. The Rambam happens to think, the Minchas Chinuch points out, the Rambam happens to think that the mitzvah of trumas and ma'aser at the beginning of the Bais Sheni was only mid the rabbanim. He says, in order to have the mitzvah to be mafrish ma'aser truma gedolah ma'aser rishon ma'aser sheni min ha'Torah, you have to have the kiddush of Eretz Yisrael should be with the majority of Klal Yisrael. Beginning of the Bais Sheni, they didn't have the majority of Klal Yisrael there.
46,000.
That's what the Rambam writes. The question: where does it come from? The Gemara says that benigeh techala. The Gemara says, in order to be chayv and chali, you need bias kulchem. In the beginning of the Bais Sheni, there was no bias kulchem sechala. And Eretz Yisrael for sure is only with the Rabbanim b'zmanazeh. Even if you're kedusha saretz menatera, but chala is only with the Rabbanim because chala needs bias kulchem. But the Gemara never says that you need bias kulchem by trumas and ma'isu. That's a problem. What is the marker of the Rambam? They're not sure exactly. The Beis Halevi quotes Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. He has the following marker, but this is it's genius, but it's a shteknish in the Gemara. It's very good. The din is. The Pasuk says, in order to observe Yovel, you have to have Kol Yoshveh Halev. That's the Pasuk on the Liberty Bell. Cross from Dror Baritz L'chol Yoshveh. Now shall proclaim liberty throughout their land and to all its inhabitants. So the Gemara says, what does it mean L'chol Yoshveh? B'zman Shekol Yoshveh Halev. The din of Yovel only applies when the majority of the world Jewish population is located in Eretz Yisrael, and you know this is Shevet Reuven, this is Shevet Shimon, you know all the different Shvatim. So the Gemara says that benigeh to Yovel. What about benigeh to Shemitah? Does that requirement of Kol Yisrael there carry over to Shemitah or not? So Rashi quotes in a few places in the Gemara that's a machlekes hatanoim in the Torah's Kohanim, in the Sifro, beginning of Parshas Behar. It says every seventh year is Shemitah, and after seven times seven, the 50th year is Yovel. So what does it mean? Shemitah is one Parsha, then you have a Psuch or a Stum, I forgot already, and then you have the next Parsha is Yovel. So do you say that you only observe Shemitah Menatar if you know in advance that it can lead up to Yovel? Or no? Shemitah, every 7 year, Shemitah Menatar. If it can lead up to Yovel, it's fine. If it can't lead up to Yovel, it's Nisha. There's no Yovel. So you have Shemitah without Yovel. So we paskin that Shemitah is only Mechuyev Menatar if it can lead up to Yovel. If you don't have Kol Yashveh HaLeo, then even Shemitah is only Midi Rabbanon. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, they have the Rabbanon has the Hetem Mechira. On the assumption that the whole Het HaMechir is based on the premise that Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is only the Rabbon. Why Shemitah only with the Rabbonon? Because it's only Menater if it can lead up to Yovel. If you don't have Kol Yashveh Aleo, then you don't have any Yovel. That's a Pasuk by Yovel. So we assume that you don't have Shemitah either. Shemitah is only Menater if it can lead up to Yovel. So now Rab Chaim Soloveitchik just adds on, the Beis HaLevi quotes this in the name of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. So Rab Chaim Soloveitchik adds on, in order to be Mafrish Trumas HaMaisis, what are your mafresh trumas and ma'aser? So it depends which year of the Shemitah cycle is it. If it's the first year, the second year, say mafresh trumas gedolah ma'aser rishon, ma'aser sheni. If it's the third year, you mafresh instead of ma'aser sheni, mafresh ma'aser ronin. And then the fourth and the fifth years are repeat of the first and the second years. And the sixth year is a repeat of the third year. And then the seventh year, you're not mafresh anything at all. So And then the din is even the first and the second years that the hafroshes are identical. It can't be mafish mishon al chavata, and even b'diyevit it's not chal, because the post agrees aser ti aser. We're just laying down shavuos. Aser ti aser is called to vesarach yotzi asoda shana shana. So the Gemara says lo mishon al shal chavata. You have to know when did these potatoes grow, when did those potatoes grow. It can only be a mafish if everything grew in the same year. So that's why the Beis Halevi quotes from Rab Chaim, from his son. Just like Shemitah is a function of Yovel, Shemitah is only observed in Atar if you know it's going to lead up to Yovel. So Trumas and Mises is a function of Shemitah. You have to know which year of the Shemitah cycle are you holding by. Is it the first year? Is it the second year? Is it the third year? And even though the first and the second years are exactly the same, still not the same. You can't be Mafish Mishon al Chavato. So if Yovel doesn't exist because you don't have Kol Yashveho Aleho, Mele Shemitah is only Midirabbanon, so Trumas and Mises can't be Minatar. What are you going to be mafresh? In order to know what you're supposed to be mafresh, you have to first determine what year of the Shemitah cycle is it. So that's what Rab Chaim says. It's a good cheshbon. It's a very good cheshbon. How come the Gemara doesn't say that?
It didn't affect Truman and Meister though. Because the Meister that doesn't depend on the cycle.
Yeah, but you can't be mafresh Mishon al Chavata, even Truman and Meister. You can't be mafresh from the first 2 years. So that's what Rab Chaim says.
But maybe the Gemara didn't say it because the Gemara actually.
Could be. I mean, if the Gemara would have been assuming that Shemitah is only the Rabbanan, then they would have assumed also that Trumas Mais. That could be. That's a possibility. Okay.
We could be getting into a mess now
You won't have any more Heta Mechira, yeah.
They say you're close to it.
We pointed out though that the Gemara in the end of Erechin Adaf Lamed Beis Amid Beis, when they quote this pasuk from the Liberty Bell, Krosim Dror Bratz L'Chol Yashav Bizman Shekol Yashav Aleo, so the Gemara quotes a brisa that spells out explicitly. And even if you have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, but they're all mixed in together, and you don't know, you don't have Shevet Reuven living separately and Shevet Shimon living separately and so on, then it's also not called Kol Yashvel. So we don't even know who anybody is. Forget about having them all live separately. So you probably won't have a problem.
All the Shvatim that are in Eretz Yisrael.
But we don't know who's who.
Somewhere in Siberia or somewhere else.
Okay. There are Shvatim that are lost. Yeah. Yeah, this explanation that we gave that the Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi, the two different dinim, and the Chiddush that the Prima Gadim writes that if a Kohen marries a Grusha and they have a son, so the son, the children will be Chalolim, so Chalol belongs to Shevet Levi, but he doesn't have Kedushas Levi, doesn't have Kedushas Kuni, doesn't have Kedushas Levi, but he is Shevet Levi. So this is all on the assumption that there exists such a concept of Kedushas Levi. That's what we're assuming, that the two different things, the Shevet Levi and Kedushas Levi. There's a Sefer, Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Bar Ditchva, wrote a Sefer that's called Kedushas Levi. Rav Meir Simcha, the author of the Ar Sameach, has in a Sefer on Chumash, in the Meshech Chochma, he denies that there's such a thing as Kedushas Levi. He says it doesn't exist. He was a Kohen. He has ideas, original ideas. So he says the Gemara has a din. If you have a pair of tefillin, so that's gufik kedusha. If you have a tefillin zekel, so that's called tashmishi kedusha. So if you put your tefillin in a tefillin zekel and you designated it, not stam. I didn't have a tefillin zekel, so I put the tefillin in my two pockets. Now the pockets have a din of a tefillin zekel. No, that was b'mikra b'yalma. But if you put your tefillin in a tefillin zekel and you plan b'kviyas, you're designating this as a tefillin zekel, so it has a status of Tashmishi Kedusha, and you're not allowed to put money in it. You're not allowed to put your keys in a tefillin zekel. What if you put your tefillin zekel? I always put my tefillin zekel inside the talis zekel. So does the talis zekel also have a din of Tashmishi Kedusha? So the Gemara says in Megillah, no, since it's twice removed. Since it's a tashmish, the tashmish, it's twice removed, so it doesn't have. Well, let's say a lot of people have a tefillin zekel cloth, and then they have a plastic cover on top of that. So the plastic cover is tashmish to tashmish. The plastic cover is to protect the cloth cover, and the cloth cover is to protect the tefillin. So the Gemara has a cloud that Tashmish and Kedusha have the status of Kedusha, but if it's twice removed, Tashmish to Tashmish, it doesn't have Kedusha. So the...
There's a meaning to put the tefillin above the talis. When you put it in the zekel,
Right, because the tefillin have kedusha and the talis doesn't have kedusha. The talis is tashmishe mitzvah, yeah. And the tefillin is tashmishe kedusha. That's right. That's correct. That minig is correct. Yeah.
Actually, put it under the talis, the tefillin first. It should be over the yosan. You shouldn't pick out the tefillin before you put on your talis. No, you
have
to always pick up your
towels
first.
Okay.
What a reason to have
the tefillin
in deeper.
In deeper, yeah. Okay. However it is. Yeah. Okay.
What about we usually put the tefillin first in this little tefillin box on hinges, you know, the little thing.
Right.
For it. So why isn't that in there? That's Misha Kedusha, and then the little tefillin bag is already planted in.
That's a very good question. I think what we assume lalocha is that not only do the batim have a kedusha of tefillin, the ritzuas also have the status of kedushas tefillin. They're not only tashmishi kedusha; it's gufi kedusha of tefillin. Consists of three parts: the parshias, the batim, and the ritzuas. And if you don't have ritzuas, so the whole tefillin is missing the kedusha. So the ritzuas, the Gemara refers to ritzuas as tashmishi kedusha. That's as far as protecting the parshias. As far as the parshiyos is concerned, the parshiyos have kedushas ksav, so the batim atashmishim and the ritzuas atashmishim. So if the only status of kedusha the ritzuas would have would be tashmishi kedusha, because they protect the parshiyos inside the batim, then you're right. Then the tefillin zekel would be twice removed. It would be tashmish to tashmish. But in addition to the status of tashmishi kedusha that the ritzuas have, mitzad the parshiyos, the ritzuas have a status of guf. Gufik Dusha with respect to the Kedusha Satfilin. Tefillin consists of all three parts, the batim, the parshias, and the ritzuas. So the ritzuas are exposed. The cardboard box or the plastic box only covers up the bias. It doesn't cover up the ritzuas. So the ritzuas itself, the ritzuas themselves have the status of Gufik Kedusha. So the Tefillin Zekel is directly Mishamish, the ritzuas. That's why the Tefillin Zekel is only once removed from the ritzuas. You're right, it's twice removed from the batim, but it's only once removed from the ritzuas. The ritzuas have a direct kedushas tefillin.
But if the ritzuas do not have a kedushas tefillin, then you wouldn't be allowed to wind the ritzuas on the top of the tefillin, like we do. Some people wind it the ritzuas separately on the hand. They don't wind it on the tefillin. This has to do with the machlokes, whether this has...
No, the Mogen Avraham quotes one of the earliest svarim that the yud has more kedusha than the rest of the ritzua. So he says if you're going to wrap around the ritzuas on top of the batim, yeah. On top of the yud, so it's not proper, he says, because the yud has more kedusha than the rest of the ritzua, uh-huh. So that's not right. That's why a lot of people wrap it separately. They wrap the ritzua separately.
So somebody wants to transfer the parshios to a different tefillin. Let's say the tefillin got wet and it's no longer in the right shape, but you want to use the parshios to put in a different tefillin. So the ritzuas of the first one still have gufei kedusha that you can't throw out.
Let's say if you had parshios, they have a sefer Torah that it can no longer use. So you're not allowed to throw it out. That has the status of gufei kedusha. Even lachash achas ma mitzvahs, and it can no longer be used. You have to be goyneze it. You're not allowed to throw it out. Mor says, if you have an old talis, you have an old esrog, you have an old schach from a sukkah, if it's no longer useful, so that's tashmishi mitzvah, so that's nizrokim. But if you have tashmishi kedusha, something was serving as a parshias of a sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, something, so that's a nignozim, even though you can't use it any longer, it still retains the kedusha.
So the ritzuas, even though the parshias are getting removed, still
have the kedusha, yeah. The same thing, the cardboard box or the plastic box that covers, or let's say the cellophane wrapper that you wrap around the mezuzah, let's say you want to replace it. I took out the mezuzah to check it, and I want to replace the cellophane or whatever. So you're not allowed to throw that cellophane in the garbage. That has the status of tashmishi kedusha. Because that was mishamish, the parsha. Let's say you have a plastic cover for the mezuzah. That's a tashmishi kedusha. If you want to buy a fancier one, you're not allowed to throw out the old one, even if it doesn't have Shem Hashem. Sometimes it has Shin Dalad Yud on the outside, so that's Shem Hashem. Even if it just has a Shin, doesn't have Shin Dalad Yud. Still not allowed, even if it doesn't have any letter at all on it. The plastic cover for the mezuzah has the status of Tashmishi Kedusha. Mezuzah is the Gufi Kedusha.
It's protecting the mezuzah.
Yeah, it protects it, so it's like a tefillin zekel.
Yeah.
Like a tefillin zek.
It'll
be twice removed, that's right.
Yeah.
If you have a plastic cover protecting the mezuzah anyway, so then the plastic will be twice removed. That's right. So the Gemara has this din. The Gemara says, Tashmishei Kedusha have the status of Kedusha. The tefillin zekel has the status of Kedusha. But the talis zekel, into which I put the tefillin zekel, that's already twice removed. The Tashmish does not have the status of Kedusha. So the Meshech Chochman, the Sefer HaChumash, raises the question, where did the Tanoim get this idea from? How do they know that it's so? So he claims that they understood it from the whole parsha of the Beis HaMikdash with the whole institution of Kohanim and Levim. That you makar of Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, so the Karbonis have Kedusha as Karbonis. And then the Kohanim Amish do the Avodah, the Kohanim Akasha to do the Hakrovas HaKarbonis. So they're Tashmishi Kedusha. They're once removed from the actual carbon itself. They're the ones that do the Avodah HaKarbonis. And the Leviim, and the Sunim, Nusunim, Hema, La'aron Olabonav, they're supposed to serve the Kohanim, who in turn are supposed to serve the purpose of HaKrovas HaKarbonis. So he says, that's why the Leviim don't have any Kedushas Leviyah. They only have Shevet Levi. There's no Kedushas Leviyah because the whole institution of Leviim is twice removed from the Karbonis. The Kohanim have Kedusha because they're once removed. They're Meshamshe Kedusha. They're like Tashmishi Kedusha. And the Leviim are Meshamish the Kohanim, who in turn are Meshamish the Karbonis. So he says that's where the Tanoim got the idea from, to distinguish between Tashmishi Kedusha and Tashmish and Tashmish. He said that's
what. Have a
yeah. The Leviim, there's no Pasuk that it says Hivdalti, but it never says he was Mekadosh the Leviim. So he claims a chiddush that there's no such thing as Kedushas Levi. He did away with the whole Kedushas Levi.
Yeah.
But we usually assume not so. We usually assume that there are two dinim. There's Kedushas Levi and Shevet Levi. And sometimes you have a person who doesn't have the Kedushas Levi, but he is Shevet Levi.
By the halacha. The Avodim is not considered a second thing away from the Mizbeach, from the Korb. Actually, that's more, that's part of the
carbonus,
the singing of, it's like a direct line to the
Mizbeach. Yeah, there's a Gemara has a machlokes if it's ma'akiv. Let's say you brought a carbon and the Levim brought a carbon and the Levim Yisach Hayayin, and they were supposed to sing Shiras HaLevim and they didn't sing. By carbonus tzibur. By carbonus yachid, you don't have Shiras HaLevim. By carbonus tzibur, at the time you do Yisach Hayayin of carbonus tzibur, that's when you're supposed to have Shiras HaLevim. So what's the din if they did the Nisach HaYayin and they didn't sing any Shiras HaLevim at all? So that's a Machlekes HaTanayim. So most assume, a Machlekes HaMeir and the Chachamim. Most assume the din is like the Chachamim, that the Shiras HaLevim is not Li'ikuva. The whole thing is not Li'ikuva. So that's why it's considered twice removed. Yeah.
The Rosh Hashanah
connect
this Kedushas
Yisrael
and Din
Yisrael.
Kedushas Yisrael and what? Kedushas Yisrael and Din Yisrael. Someone has the status of Yisrael, but he doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael.
The reverse. No, you can have someone who has Kedushas Yisrael. All the Jewish people have Kedushas Yisrael, but they're not all part of Klal Yisrael. If one doesn't believe in the Yud Gimel Ikorei Hemunah, so the Rambam says he's Jewish, I can't shave off his, if I'm a barber, I'm not allowed to shave off his payas, I can't use him as a Shabbos guy, I can't sell my chametz to him, he's Jewish, he has a Kedushas Yisrael, whether we like it or not, but he's not a member of Klal Yisrael. To be a member of Klal Yisrael, you have to be a Maimon. Whoever is not a Maimon, whoever doesn't believe in the Ikorei Hemunah, so the Rambam writes, is not part of Klal Yisrael. So there are a few dinim which depend on Klal Yisrael, which is something more than Kedushas Yisrael. Let's say all the Jews who live in Chutz Lords, all Jews live all over the world, we all have Kedushas Yisrael, but the real Tziruf of Klal Yisrael only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. That's what we said, that Ben-Gurion didn't believe in mitzvahs, he just believed in the concept of Klal Yisrael, so Lushitosa, he's right, that a Jew who lives in Chutz Lords is not Jewish. Yeah, because the whole idea of Klal Yisrael, the Gemara says, they're a dinim. That depend on Klal Yisrael only applies to those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz, we have a Kedushas Yisrael to be chayv in the mitzvahs, Kedushana b'mitzvahs v'tzivanu, but the mitzaref of Klal Yisrael is you have to have a national homeland. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael, they're considered part of Klal Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz Lortz, we're partially considered Klal Yisrael because we relate to Eretz Yisrael. We plan to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the poskim say la'alocha, the Abnei Nezer has a tshuva based on a Maralmi Prag. He says la'alocha la'maisim. He lived after the Reform started their movement, And the Reform are not interested in moving Teretz Yisrael. They took out Vesechazan Reinein and Beshuvcha, not interested in the Shechinah coming back, not interested in the Jews moving back Teretz Yisrael. They didn't support the Zionist cause at all. So he says that those Jews don't have a status of Klal Yisrael. They have a Kedushas Yisrael, they're Jewish. Even if they don't keep mitzvahs, they're Jewish, but they don't have the status of Klal Yisrael. Those in Chutz Lords who at least relate to Eretz Yisrael, we view Eretz Yisrael as our national homeland. Someday we plan, in the distant future, we do plan, and we retire, whatever, we'll move to, so at least we have a shaychus with Eretz Yisrael. But if a person doesn't consider Eretz Yisrael at all as his national homeland, then he says, Mamish not a member of Klal Yisrael.
Maybe it's
Israel.
Maybe it's Israel.
Yeah. So even though they live in Eretz Yisrael, they're not here. Yeah. So that's the Gemara. There was a Hirasha, the whole traveling in the Midbar for 40 years. The Oren had to be carried by Levim, and there were three occasions when it had to be carried Dafka by Kohanim. There was a Hirasha on top of the Hirasha. So that's what the Gemara says when they were crossing over the Arden. So the Oren Habris went first. Instead of going after two Machnas, they couldn't send the two Golem in. They were drowned in the Yarden. The water didn't split till the regular Kohanim walked in. So when the regular Kohanim walked in, the water split. Everybody crossed. And then the top line on Lamedala Lamedala says, the Kevin Shinid Bulu Ragle Kohanim Amayim. Chazra Amayim Lacharim. When the Kohanim entered on the eastern side of the Arden, when they put in their feet into the waters of the Arden, so the water stopped flowing from north to south. So what happened to all the water? So it started piling up like a wall. Kept on going higher. And the Kohanim stayed there until all of the four Degolim crossed over, and then with the Kohanim finally at the end, when they left, then the water came back. The water started rolling back. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, says like that, Shenema, Ukebo nosi ha'orein, ad hayardein, vayamdu ha'mayim hayardein milamayla. The water that was coming from north to south stopped rolling down. Komu neid echot, it all stood up like a big wall. That's what the Pasuk says in Yoshua. Now the Tanoim are taking over, v'kama govin shalamayim. How tall was this wall? By the time the last of Klal Yisrael crossed over and the Ragle Kohanim, they left the Yarden. So how tall was it? So the Gemara says, well, how big was Machne Yisrael? So the Gemara assumes that there's a Shaila later on the bottom of the Daf going over Talmud Beis. Then we're traveling in the Midbar. They were traveling like in rectangular shape. This Machne, that Machne, and then the Oren and so on. The four Machnes. So when they crossed over the Yarden, they also crossed. There was such a wide crossing of the Yarden. They were crossing Yud Beis Mila, Yud Beis Mil. Such a, they crossed over in rectangular shape. Yeah, the Gemara here has the machlokes. How did they cross over the Yarden? Whether they crossed over the Yarden kahana here on the top of Amud Beis, kahana Yosem Avru, or Bezach Hazeh, the top two lines. Yeah. One Amora says that this is the Machlekes Hatanaim, that they cross over the Yarden in rectangular shape. So they had the Machne Yisrael was Yud Beis Mil, Al Yud Beis Mil. So they crossed over the Yarden not in one little location. They crossed over for 12 mil. So and it took 12 mil of the people to cross over the Yarden. It's 12 mil by 12 mil. So the water was piling up 12 mil. So as soon as the last one from Klal Yisrael and the Kohanim crossed over, walked over on the western side of the Arden to Eretz Yisrael, so the water had reached the height of 12 mil, because that's how long their machna was. So the water would be the same height. That's what the first Tana says. The Kamagam Shalamayim here on the fourth line, from the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. The Kamagam Shalamayim, how high did the water go? Shnei Masa Bila, Shnei Masa Mil, Keneged Machna Yisrael. That's on the assumption that they crossed over the Yarden, Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil.
What does it mean, Govan Shalmayim, Shnei Musa Mil? The Yarden isn't wide, Shnei Musa Mil.
Yeah, I don't know. It's impossible.
Yeah.
The Yarden is very narrow. I don't know. Unless it means that the water should have flooded a lot of villages, should have flooded a lot of cities. I don't know what it means. I thought I lived in Eretz Yisrael. No, they should have known that the Yarden is not at all so wide.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means. So the first Tana says that the water went only so high, Yud Beis Mil. Ablozer Rab Shimon says, what are you talking about? Lidvarecha, think what you're saying. Adam kalamayim kam, who goes faster? People walk faster than water flowing, or water flows faster? Water flows much faster than people walking. So if you have Shishim Riba people crossing over, that's going to take forever. So the water is going to rush down much quicker than people walk. So it must be that the water was much higher, much taller than Yud Beis Milne. So this he says, Adam Kalamayim Kalim, which one goes first? Have Yamamayim Kalim. Water flows much faster than people walk. In Cain, boy, in Cain, if you are right that the water only reached the height of 12 mil. And then after that, then the whole thing collapsed and the water kept on going weiter from north to south. Came boy, Mayim, showed from Osan. Everybody's going to get drowned in the middle of the whole crossing of the Yarden. Ella! It must be that it was much higher than Yud Beis Milne. Malamed, Shoyamayim, the Gedoshim, the Olim, the water was piling up higher, higher, higher. Keepin, Agabi, keepin. Layers and layers of water on top of water, much more than Yud Beis Milne. Yes, sir. Mishlosh Meyas Mil. He makes a cheshbon, it has to be more than 300 mil high. It was so high that all the people, I can't see what's happening 100 miles away,
yeah.
But if the earth is a globe and you have water piling up 300, I can see an airplane that's very far away. I see, because it's very high in the air.
Yeah.
I can't see what's doing on the ground so far away, but I can see an airplane that's very far away. So if the water piled up 300 mil in the sky, going up straight, so the people from a distance can see, all the people in the whole, all the goyim in the whole neighborhood can see it. At Shirao Oysam, the water was visible, Kol Malachim Mizrach HaMayir. All the kingdoms, all the Lamad Aleph Malachim who lived in that neighborhood, all saw the water part. They didn't live near the Yarden, so they couldn't see the water of the Yarden every day. But if you have such a big, it's like an airplane in the sky, you can see it from a distance also. Shinema, the Pasuk seems to say, Yoshua Hikishmo, Kol Malachi HaMayir, Asher Be'eva Yarden Yama, Kol Malachi Knani, Asher Al Yam, Esa Shehoivish, Hashem Ismea Yarden, Mithnei B'nai Yisrael. Ad Avram, they heard about this miracle. How did they hear about the miracle? What they read in the newspaper? The answer is no, they all saw it.
Sure.
They saw the water piling up, and then they asked, what's going on? What's happening? So they explained to them what happened. Vayimas Levavam, they all fainted. They were ready to chalash. They had no oomph to fight against the Jewish people. If they have Menach Shemaim, they're making such miracles for the Jewish people, they didn't want to fight with them. That's why they lost the war. Vafarachav Azaino Amr Lushluchi Yehoshua. And Yeshua ben Nun sent the two Meraglim. So she told the Meraglim, Kishamainu, Esa Shehoiva, Shashem is Mei Yamsuf. We all heard about the miracle. But Nishman, when we heard about it, Vayimas Levavainu. Everybody was ready to chalash. Ruach Bo'adam. Everyone was afraid to fight with the Jewish people. So that's what the second Tana disagrees with Rabbi Yudi. Says, it cannot be that it was only Yud Beis Milne tall. Must have been that it was much taller. Then the Tosefta continues. It's all quotation from the Tosefta in Soita. Odom by Yarden, while it was still in the Yarden, Omlam Yeshua, Yeshua was given instructions by Moshe Rabbeinu. And when they cross over the Yarden, Hachrim Tachrim, have to wipe out all the Zainumas. And they shouldn't feel that it's immoral and there's something wrong about it. The Ribbono Shel is the one who created the law of mankind. The Ribbono Shel loves all human beings. Chaviv Odom. Chaviv Odom means that he loves people. Chaviv Yisrael lives. He loves the Jewish people more than he loves the Yom HaSalem. But the Yom HaSalem are also. They're not Borem Lamokim, but the Chavon Shenivir B'Tselem. So despite the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives a Chibi Yisrael in the Das La'Olam, Shenivir B'Tselem, he made a din of Hachrim Tachrimim. You have to wipe out all his Zainumis. So Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Yeshua ben Nun, and Rashi quotes the Pesukim from the Chumash, that when you'll be in the process of crossing over the Yarden, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't allow me to enter Eretz Yisrael, okay, so you're going to be in charge. When you will be in the process of crossing over the Yarden, while you're still in the Yarden, make this condition, make it clear to the Bnei Yisrael, they have to wipe out the Zainumas. They're not allowed to have the Zainumas living in Eretz Yisrael. Odom by Yarden, when they're still in the water, not in the water, they were in that area that it used to be known as Yarden, it was dry. Omalam Yeshua du'u, al me'atam over Mesa Yarden. You should understand this is the condition. Amarasha Tarisho is Yeshvi Horitz Mimpnechm Shenema. Baharashtam is called Yeshvi Horitz Mimpnechm. You have to chase out all of the Zainumas. Sometimes the din is you have to kill him. Sometimes the din is you can chase him out from Eretz Yisrael. The din of Hachrim Tachrim doesn't always apply. Tesis is, where's the Tesis later? Another. In a few Mesichtis is a Tesis about it. It's probably going to be later, yeah. It's going to be a Tesis here too. Alam and Ham and Beis is going to be a Tesis about it. If you accept upon yourselves to wipe out the Zainumis, it's good. You have a right to cross over there. Vimlav, and if right now you don't accept upon yourselves to fulfill the din of Hachm Tachrimim, Boim Hamayim Shotvim Osechem. That's the lotion that Yeshua ben Nun told them. That's how the Tosefta mentions. The waters will, the whole miracle will be discontinued, and the water will fall down and we'll all drown. So the Gemara has a comment now on the lotion of the Tosefta. May Osechem. What kind of a lotion is that? There is no such word in the Hebrew language. Osechem. So the Gemara explains that Tosefta, that's not a pasuk in Yeshua. I don't think it's a pasuk in Yeshua. Osechem is a word that the Tosefta uses. So the Gemara is commenting on the Tosefta. The word Osechem means Osivi Aschem. The water will, the waters of the Yarden will fall down and we'll all drown. Me and you all together, even though
who's
I'm prepared.
Who's the OC?
Yeshua ben Nun, and all the Jewish people will all drown. Then Odom Bayardim, when they're still in the process of crossing over the Yarden, Amla Yeshua, Yeshua ben Nun tells him another mitzvah that he was told by Moshe Rabbeinu that he has to fulfill when he crosses over the Yarden. Hariyam Alachem Ish Even Achas Al Shichmoy LeMispa Shifte Bnei Yisrael. There are 12 Shvatim. So 12 people, each one representing his own shevet, should pick up a heavy, big stone, not a little pebble, a gigantic slab of stone, as heavy as possible, the maximum weight that he can possibly pick up. And they should put away the location, they should put these 12 stones. So this should be a maskeris l'doros haboim, that everyone should remember that there was a big miracle that Avosenu crossed over the Yarden, and the waters over the Yarden were dry. Chsib, the purpose of putting the 12 stones, lamantiyaz os, os bekirbechem, this should be a simon for the future generation. You shouldn't forget the history. What do you have 12 stones for? This is a similar bonim shavar avosus hayarden. The Gemara has later, here's the top of daf lamed hay omid base. There were three different times that they had to have. They take a look around 20 lines from the top. You have two dots, and then it starts another quotation from the Tosefta. Nimtza Satoim, about 15 lines from the top. After the two dots, Nimtza Satoim, Shloshim Ini Avonim Hoyu. There were three times that there was a whole set of 12 stones. The first one, Echad Shekim Moshe Beretz Moav. That doesn't really say in Chumash. It says in Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu, before he passed away, Oel Moshe Be'eres HaTorah HaZos Lemor. He explained everything. The Rashi says he explained B'shivim Loshen. He was explaining the whole Torah Shabbat Peh, giving everything over. So because it says Be'eres HaTorah HaZos, Be'er, Oel Moshe Be'eres HaTorah HaZos, and here it says Yeshua Ben Nun, when he crosses over the Yarden, he's supposed to write the whole Torah on the stones Be'er HaTev. So the Gemara has Gzereshava. He learned Gzereshava to establish history. Not only did he learn Gzereshava to establish halachas, here the Gemara makes Gzereshava to establish history. Then in the Chumash it doesn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu made stones and he carved out the Torah, but because it is Gzereshava, we understand that historically, Echad, there was a set of 12 stones Shehekim Moshe Be'eretz Moav before he died. Shenema, Be'eva Yadin Be'eretz Moav Hol Moshe. That's the opening pasuk in Chumash Dvarim. Be'eretz HaTorah Zos Heitev Ulo Halom Ha'imer V'Chasavta Olam Eskel Divrei HaTorah Zos. Ba'er heite, vasya ba'er ba'er, gzereshova. Just like in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they had to carve out the whole Torah on the 12 stones. So Moshe Rabbeinu also put up 12 stones on the location where he transmitted the whole Torah, where he transmitted the whole Torah to the Bnei Yisrael. Then the echad, another set of 12 stones, shehekim Yeshua b'toch hayarden shenemar. That's what we're reading about now. Ushtei misri avonim hekim Yeshua b'toch hayarden. The echad, and then there was another set of 12 stones, a third set of 12 stones, shehekim ba'gilgal. That was the first place where they slept over the first night when they crossed over the Yarden in the city Gilgal. Shenema, they took it from the Yarden and they slept it all the way to Gilgal and they established it there. So that's what the Brisa here is talking about, that the second set of stones. Second set of stones, but they took it from Mitachas Kapas Raglia Kohanim. They took it from the place where the Kohanim was sitting. To serve as a similar bonim throughout all the future generations. They should remember that the kibush of Eretz Yisrael was with Nisim and Eflos, it was Mina Shamayim. It wasn't stam that the Jewish people did on their own. The Rabbanu Shalom made Nisim on that time. And then the Tosefta, where we left off on Lamed Aleph, and Tosefta continues, Odom by Yarden, still in that area of the Yarden, in the process of crossing over. Amar lahem Yoshua. He made the Tanai with them. They have to accept to observe Hachrim Tachrimim. and he took the 12 stones to be a similar Doris HaBoim, and the other Bayardin, he told him to take again 12 stones that they're going to put in Gilgal. That's the third set, the third set of 12 stones. First was in days of Moshe Rabbeinu and Eretz Moav, and the second set of stones was to remember the fact that the Kohanim crossed over the Yarden and there was the miracle of drying up, and the third set of stones were to put in Gilgal. They should take 12 stones.
Yeah.
You should carry those stones. Carry it with you. Schlep. It was very heavy. In the location where we will sleep over tonight. So the Tosefta spells out, what does it mean? Does it mean that they were obligated to set up 12 stones in every single location as they were traveling, conquering all of Eretz Yisrael? No, Talmud Lomar, no. Pasuk only says, Shatu Linebo Halayla, only where they're going to sleep over tonight, the first night. First night they slept in Gilgal. So in Gilgal they had to take this, schlep the stones from the Yarden and erect them in Gilgal. And that had, those were the stones, Rashi quotes from the Gemara later, those were the stones that when they made the brachas, the klal, the hagriz, maharevo, so those were the stones that they used, the 12 stones that made the mizbeach and the harevo. And then they engraved Kol HaTorah Kula on those stones. And then they took apart that mizbeach. That usually you're not allowed to. It's an avera to take apart a mizbeach. You're not allowed to. But here, this was, they were commanded. They were told they have to take apart the mizbeach, and then take it to Gilgal, and put up those stones, erect those stones in Gilgal. So now the Gemara discusses how heavy were those stones. So the Gemara says they were tremendously heavy. Amar Rabbi Yosi, it says on the side, it probably should say this, there is a Tan who's quoting his father, my father Chalafto. Who is there was a Tan Rabbi Yosi, the famous Tan Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafto. We're not familiar with any Rabbi Yudah ben Chalafto. So that's why on the side of the Gemara, they think that there's a misprint here. It should say Amar Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi is quoting his father, Abba Chalafto, my father. He's not allowed to call his father by his first name unless you call him Abba Chalafto. His name is Chalafta. His name is not Abba Chalafta. Yeah. But he's not allowed to call his father by his first name. So he calls, he says, my father Chalafta, that's permissible. My father Chalafta was Atana, Rab Chalafta, and Rab Loza ben Masi was Echigiban Atana, Hanani ben Chakanai, third Tana. These three Tanoim, apparently they were mathematicians or whatever. So they liked to make mathematical calculations. So Omdo Alosim Avonim, they were trying to calculate how heavy were these stones that they took from the Tachas Kapas Ragle Kohanim, that they later on put in Gilgal Vishyarum, and they estimated Kolachus V'Achash Kula Kaboim So. Each one was probably heavy, it weighed the weight of 40 saws. So is a volume. So is not a weight. He's not telling how, what 40 saw of what? 40 saw of feathers, or 40 saw of bricks, or 40 saw of potatoes. He doesn't explain 40 saw of what. I don't know. He says each one was the weight of 40 saw. So that's pretty heavy. Ugmirim, we have a tradition. This is relevant for other things. Remember, we have a tradition. The tuna, the medallionish lekasve, a heavy bundle that you pick up. Let's say a person has to pick up a suitcase by himself. So you have to have koyach. You have to have strength to pick up a suitcase. Let's say other people are going to put the suitcase on my shoulders. So even if it's so heavy, I myself will not be able to schlep it, pick it up by myself. But if other people put it on my shoulders, sometimes you can carry a piano by yourself. Sometimes a person can't pick up the piano by himself, but he's able to carry a piano on his back all by himself. So the Gemara says they estimated that a burden that's placed on my shoulders, even if it's three times the weight of something that I have the ability to pick up myself, I wouldn't be able to pick it up by myself, but I'd be able to transport it. So that's what they said. Ugemiri, we have a tradition. That tradition in not a tradition in halacha. We have a tradition in Mila Dialma. He says the tuuna, a heavy burden, the medali inish. Yeah. So he says a tuuna, a heavy bundle, the medali inish likasvei, a weight that a person puts on his own shoulder is only tilta, is only one third the weight the tuuna, the tuuna have is only one third the amount of weight that a person can carry. If other people would put it on his shoulder, then he'd be able to carry even three times as much. So the Gemara says, based on this, so the twelve avonim that they carried in Gilgal, the Gemara is assuming that they were as heavy as possible. They were commanded to take avonim, if it's humanly impossible to schlep such an Evan, so they can't do it. So they were supposed to pick Avonim, which were the heaviest possible, so they think that it was 40 saw. And now the Gemara says, Mekanat, but since if someone else puts it on my shoulders,
I can carry,
I can carry a burden that's even three times as heavy. So Mekanat HaMechashev LeEshkol. It says when the 12 Meragim came back from Eretz Yisrael to give the report to Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Gemara says, they wanted to frighten the Jewish people that they shouldn't want to go back. They shouldn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the 10 Meraglim were Rishoyim, and the two were Tzadikim, Yeshua and Kolev. They came, they wanted to tell the truth. It's a wonderful country, and we'll succeed. We should listen to the Baruch Shalom's Tzivuim. We should go to Eretz Yisrael. So the whole purpose, the whole plan of bringing back the Peiros from Eretz Yisrael was in order to show the people, look how big, the gigantic the Peiros are. The people are giants, just like the parents are, just like the Peiros that grow are so big. So the people are so such giants. Mishuna. We don't stand the Mishuna, everything in Mishuna. We don't stand the chance of winning a war if we're going to fight against them. So the whole plan, the whole shtick was to convince Bnei Yisrael not to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Yeshua and Kalev were not involved here. So those two, Yeshua and Kalev, didn't carry any Peiros. Only the 10 of them carried Peiros. And then the Psukim say they brought Eshkol Anovim Echad, they brought a cluster of grapes. So it says they were all carrying together a cluster of grapes. A cluster of grapes a little child can carry. What, a pound of grapes? 2 pounds of grapes? What's so difficult? So some kind of gigantic cluster of grapes that they needed 8 people to schlep. One cluster of grapes. And then it says that they also carried minor rimonim, a minor teinim. So one person carried rimonim, one person carried teinim, and 8 people were needed to schlep the Eshkol Anovim. How do you have 8 people carrying an Eshkol Anovim? Just the Metzias. How are they carrying it? So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Vayisuhu Bamot Bishnayim. They usually have on Carmel wine, they have the picture of the Meraglim. It's a terrible picture. Why should they pick the picture of that? They were punished because of that. They were given a Misa Mishuna, so we should... We shouldn't advertise that picture.
They have it on the stamps.
Also, yeah. So the Gemara says, even though the Pasuk says, Vayisuhu Bamot is a pole. And a pole has two ends. You have to have 2 people carry a pole. So the Gemara says, even though it says, Vayisuhu, they carry the Eshkol Anovim Bamot Bishnayim. So the Gemara understands that it doesn't mean that 2 people, not the way it says on the stamps, not the way it says on the picture. The mashmish in Amber Bamot, if it was carrying it on a pole has 2 ends, it's not circular. Obviously, it's a dead giveaway that 2 people would carry. It means that there were 2 poles. They were carrying 2. Yeah, but we just. So if you have 2 poles, so you have 4 people carrying. But if you have 1 person carrying an Ash Teinim, 1 person carrying Rimon, and only Yeshua and Kalev are not carrying, because the whole plan was to dissuade everybody from going into Eretz Yisrael. So there were only 4 people carrying. So what about the other 4? So the Gemara has no. They had 2 people carrying 2 poles, and then they had crisscross. Excuse me, 4 people carrying 2 poles. You have 2 poles, you have 4 people carrying the 2 poles. Then they had crisscross, another 4 people carrying, another cross. Then they had a gigantic cluster of grapes that you needed 8 people to schlep. How heavy was that cluster of grapes? So that's what the Gemara said before. They tried to bring as heavy as possible to dissuade the Jewish people from going to Eretz Yisrael. So the stones that they carried were probably a weight of 40 saw of something. It doesn't tell you what. 40 saw of feathers or 40 saw of bricks. 40 saw of potatoes, I don't know. So the weight that you carry on your own is 40 saw, and this was 120 saw. So here Rashi gives you a whole description of the whole story. And then at the end of the Gemara, they have a diagram of what it looked like. Where the Masechta ends, on Mem Tes Amid Beis, on page Nun, Amid Aleph, they have a long quotation from the Rosh, but the 3 different pictures. So the first picture has the 4 poles crisscross. On Daf Nun Amid Aleph. On the next daf Nun Amid Aleph. Oh, here they left it out. Oh. And my Gemara, they have a diagram.
Page
Chof Aleph. After. Oh. How do you? Oh, your Gemara's. No, no, probably in the end, Chasal.
Yeah, nothing.
My Gemara doesn't have. No, probably in the end, Chasal.
Oh, he in the end.
Ah. It has the three pictures.
Three pictures.
So the Rashi gives you the first picture. Right. You have two poles, there's playing two poles crisscross at a right angle to the first two poles, and they had a gigantic Eshkalon Ovim that they needed eight people to schlep. Right. And the thing was tremendously heavy. And other Rishonim have the second diagram, and other Rishonim have the third diagram. Different pictures. I think that Tarth Mima makes up his own diagram. There's a different suggestion, what it looked like. Okay. So that's what the Gemara makes a cheshbon over here. It says they carried an Eshkalon Ovim from Eretz Yisrael to show the Jewish people. So any a moat, a pole needs two people. Matam alam bishnayim means bishnei motas. There were two poles.
Two poles,
only four people. So, but you're missing four people. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, he figures out on his own, not based on the pasuk. Rashi says the first part was figured out based on the pasuk bishnei motas. Vayisu ba moat bishnayim means two motas. Then Rabbi Yitzchak thinks on his own, it must have been turtani. There were two poles in this direction, and two poles at right angle to the other two poles. Okay, Tzachmona Nasu Eshkalechad. Eight people were needed to carry this heavy, heavy cluster of grapes. Echad Nasu Rima Vecha Nasu Te'ena. And Yeshuva Kalavlan Nasu Klum. They didn't carry anything at all. Why? The Gemara has two explanations. Ebay Seim and Mishum the Hashivi. Either because they were more choshed, they were more respected than the other ten. So that Ebay Seim and the Gemara says, Shalohoi Beosu Eitza. The Gemara, the second shot in the Gemara is that the whole plan from day number one to carry the Paris from Eretz Yisrael was in order to dissuade everyone from going. So they didn't want to dissuade anyone. So that's why they said, we're not going to carry anything. The whole thing is a fraud. That's the second shot. The first shot, the Gemara assumes that originally they were just going to bring the Paris to show a sample of how wonderful Eretz Yisrael is. So why didn't Yeshua and Kolev also carry if it was a part of the wonderful plan? Mar says, no, they were Anashim Chashuv and they were more respected than the other ten of the Meraglim, so they didn't ask them to carry anything. Well, it's usually assumed that the whole plan from day number one was Bereishis. Rashi HaChumash quotes this famous Gemara here. It's on the top line on Lamed Hei Amud Aleph.
That says Kulam Anushim, so Rashi says that they were Tzaddikim at that
Tzaddikim,
time.
But also showed when they were chosen, they were Tzaddikim.
And then
the Gemara has on the top line on Lamed Hei Amud Aleph that it says Vayelcho Vayavoyu. It says they went from Machne Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and then they returned from Eretz Yisrael, Vayavoyu, they came back. So why does it say in the post, Vayelcho Vayavoyu? Vayelcho, that was a long time ago. Rabbi Yechon, Rabshim Vayichoy, Makish Halicha Lebiya, Ma Biya, just like when they came back from Eretz Yisrael was Be'etzorah, they came back with this evil plan to dissuade everybody from going. Afalicha, from day number two, day number one when they were chosen, Rashi says on Hashem Tzadikim. He picked Tzadikim. But then before they left on the Shlichas, they all made up on their own that they're going to give back a negative. Whatever they're going to see, they're going to give back a negative report. That's a Pella Digazach. Why do they make up their minds and want to give a negative report?
Lose their job.
That's how the Zoya has like that. They'll be Ois Machas. In the Midbar, then it seems a big thing. In Eretz Yisrael, everybody will be Yishtachas Gafnam, Tachas Teinosa. They'll have the Hanhoga, would be Bederach HaTeva. So they wanted that they should continue to have a Hanhoga, Lamaila Men HaTeva, and they'll still be Machas. They were only Sari Hamishim.
And why did Moshe Rabbeinu only have to worry about Yoshua and not Kalev? Because of Lashon Hara Kalev knew firsthand. He knew firsthand what Lashon Hara could do from his wife Miriam. He didn't have to be told what Lashon Hara was going to do.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, Yoshua wasn't required. Moshe Rabbeinu had Yoshua.
The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu was Mispalo. Call Yoshiacha Miyatza Samaraglin. So that's what the Mefarshim wonder. Why didn't he mispalo? Why wasn't he mispalo for a Kolev as well?
For all of them, he should have been mispalo.
For all of them, yeah. I think they point out the Targum Yonasan Ben Azil writes on that pasuk. Vayikra Moshe L'Shei Benun Yehoshua. So the Targum Yonasan writes, Kadchomi Amisonusa de Yehoshua. When he saw how humble Yeshua Benun was, so that's why he was mispal for him. So what
afraid,
does that mean?
But afraid, since he's humble, he was afraid. To them.
Sometimes a humble person goes along, he gives in to everybody else. That's improper humility. So Ikole was an independent thinker. So Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what some say pshat in the Targum Yonis and Menazil. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't afraid that Kol is going to be drawn along with the Meraglim because he was an independent person. But Yehoshua ben Nun was so humble, he was a little bit too humble. So Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid he's going to fall in with the Meraglim, so that's why he had to be mispalfin.
Yehoshua was a channel. How can he be so humble?
Good question. I don't know.
According to the
Sashman, it was a general only late, actually before also, right? I'm all late.
They had the Ruach HaTeres that they originally pretended that they were in the plant. So then the second answer doesn't work, that they didn't want to participate because they didn't want to bring an evil report. They pretended to be in on the plant at the beginning.
I mean, they gave it teretz. So they gave some kind of excuse why they don't want to schlep. The Gemara seems to have two versions, whether was it obvious to everybody, b'shas ma'isa, that the whole purpose of bringing the teretz was to dissuade everyone from going or not. So according to that suggestion, that it was, that's what the whole plan was all about. From day number one, they're going to bring the teretz to convince everyone we shouldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. So that, according to that version, Yehoshua and Kolob didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to do it, either openly or privately, whatever it is. But according to the first pshat, that wasn't the expressed intention, that they're going to bring Paris in order to dissuade everyone from going. So the Gemara gave the other suggestion because they were Anashim Chashuvim, so that's why it wasn't expected of them. Yeah, let me just finish this Gemara. The Gemara is now commenting on the last line on Amram. The Gemara is commenting on what was this machlekes hatanoim early on the top of the daf. Rabbi Yudah says that the water piled up Yud Beis Mill. The other Tana says, what are you talking about? The water goes so much faster than human beings. Must be over 300 mil up in the air. What's the machlekes? So the Gemara has a machlekes hamaroim and was bashtei the machlekes hatanoim. So pligi bar abami Rabbi Yitzchak Napche, what are the tanoim fighting about? Chan amar, one of the Amoraim claims that the Machlekes HaTanaim is, how did they cross over the Yarden? Did they cross over single file, one by one? So it took forever till Shishim Riba people crossed over the Yarden. Shishim Riba men between the age of 20 or 50, the women, the children, the Erev Rav, and everybody. So it took a long time, so there must have been more than 300 mil. The Yarden says, no, they crossed over Kahana Yosem, they crossed over in rectangular shape. So there was a big, how could it be? It's not Yud Beis Mil, why? I don't know. The Yarden is not Yud Beis Mil. Why? I don't know. So one Tana says, Chadam, the Divi Rabbi Yudah says that the water was only 12 mil in the sky, Kachana Yosem Avru. They crossed over the Yarden the same way they traveled, the same way they Kachanoya, the same way they came. Yud Beis Mil, Yud Beis Mil, the same way they came. So that's why it was sufficient if the wall of water would be 12 mil tall. Divi Rabbi Lozab Rabbi Shimon, Bizach Hazar, but they went single file. Chadam, the other one says, no. Everybody agrees they crossed over. If they crossed over single file, it'll take forever. It'll be thousands of miles up in there. That's impossible. Everybody, all the Tanaim agree they crossed over 12 mil in a shot. Even if you're going Yud Beis Mil, but the people can't run as quickly as the water. Even if they're running, why should they be running? The water's going to go much faster. How can there be an opinion? How can there be anybody who says that the people were walking as fast as the water goes?
Well, the water going, it depends about, some rivers don't flow, so it depends on the pitch of the river. Some rivers flow very slowly.
And also rivers volume, flow, you hardly have any water.
And also the volume.
Yes,
the water.
Even if there's a lot of water, 3 miles, if the water depends upon
the volume of the water,
not the volume, of the speed, the incline of the river, the bed of the river.
The decline of the stream, as well as the volume of the water.
So it doesn't always.
Okay, we'll stop here.
I think so,
next week or last week?
I think we made up another 2 weeks. Another two Tuesday nights till the middle of June. Believe that. I think so. What is tonight?
Tonight the 2nd.
So we'll meet
9.
Okay. Good toy, Sasha. Okay. I don't have weddings or anything. There's an interesting, I just attended a wedding. I just came from out of town, came back from a wedding in Los Angeles. So we have the practice that under the chuppah, the chassan gives the ring, says hariat mekudeshesli. So the Gemara says vasfar loshen adas mekudeshes. If you would say hariat meuresesli, that's a lishna deraisa. That's in biblical Hebrew. Hariat ishti. That's a biblical expression. Hariat mekudeshes is a lishna derabbanan. It's a terminology that the rabbis invented. Kiddushin, maseches kiddushin. What does it mean? What do you mean? Your magdish. What do you mean mekudeshes? So the Gemara says also la kuli alma kehegdish. Just like Hegdish, there's an Issa Me'ila, no one's allowed to get on Noah, so if the woman is married, no one else is allowed to be with my wife. The woman is Mekudeshes. So the Acharonim point out an interesting comment, that the Lishne is a Lishne de Rabbanon, the terminology that we call the Kiddushin, Hariyah Mekudeshes, but the concept is a concept deraisa, that when a couple gets married, we consider it as if they're introducing Kiddusha into their home, some Kiddusha that was not there from before. So there is an interesting comment in the Kuzari. The Kuzari, the background of the Kuzari, the Melech HaKuzarim had a recurring dream. Apparently they said that this is a true story. The Sefer HaKuzari, many hold as a historical novel, but it's based on history. Others say it's not the novel. Others say this was the tradition, that this was the conversation. Anyway, the story goes that the Melech HaKuzarim had a recurring dream that Kavanoscha Ritzui Abba Masecha Eina Ritzui. He's very religiously oriented, but he's worshipping the wrong religion. He has the same dream a few times. So he didn't know, he was all shaken up. He wanted to be Afrum Egoi. He was all shaken up, so he figured he has to look into the possibility of some other religion. So he was going to invite a Christian and a Muslim. He didn't think originally to invite a representative of the Jewish religion, because the Jews were so downtrodden in the Middle Ages that he thought for sure Judaism is not in the running. But then last minute he decided to change his mind, and he invited a representative from each one of the three religions. So then he was taken by the presentation of the rabbi, because since the Muslim religion and the Christian religion are both rooted in the Jewish religion, everything begins with the Chumash. So that's why he listened to what the rabbi said, and he was taken, and he converted, and he got all the cabinet to convert, and he got all of the nation to convert. The Kuzarim lived in Russia. They found the capital city of the... Under Stalin, they wrote it up in the newspapers in the beginning of the summer, last summer, I think. They found the city, I forgot the name of the city, that used to be the capital of the Malchus HaKuzarim years ago. And under Stalin, he insisted that they should delete all of this from the history books. He didn't want anybody to know that the origin of the Russian Empire was with the Jewish government of the Malchus HaKuzarim. That the original Russian government was really controlled by the Jewish people. So they left it out, they omitted it from all of the history books. But now they did research for many years, and now they found the capital of the city of the Kuzari. So there's a whole conversation between the rabbi representing the Jewish people and the king. He's asking questions about the Jewish religion, explaining back and forth. So finally one question he asks him, if you people are so observant, you keep everything that it says in the Chumash, so how come you don't go to mikveh, how come you don't bring karbonis, and so on? So he says, we don't have a base on mikdash, we can't bring karbonis. Then he says, how come you don't go to mikveh when you have this, that, the other thing? He says, the whole purpose of going to mikveh is only if you're tameh, you can't enter the Beis HaMikdash, you can't eat karbonis, you can't eat truma, you can't eat maaser sheni, you can't be makriv karbonis. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have karbonis, we don't have maaser sheni, we don't have bikurim, so there's nothing, so we don't have to go to mikveh. Then he asks, but your wives go to mikveh, so why do you insist the wife has to go to mikveh? So the rabbi answers, no, the Taras HaMishpach has nothing to do with tumah betar, it's an inyan of isa v'heta. That's a famous passage in the Kuzari. So the answer that the rabbi gave, the chaver, the rabbi gave the answer to the Melech of Kuzarim, he said the whole inyan of Tumah only applies when you have Kedusha. You have Kedusha's Trumah, Kedusha's Maaser Sheni, Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash, Kedusha's Yerushalayim. So Tumah and Kedusha are Tarte de Sasri. We don't have all inyanim of Kedusha, so the whole issue of Tumah Vitar is irrelevant. So the Abnezer has a tshuva halacha lemaisa, where he interprets a Gemara Soito explaining the parsha in today's Sedra by the Soito. So it says, if a couple is married and the wife is Mizana, so the Chumash uses the expression v'nitmo'o. What's for halachim v'nitmo? What kind of an expression v'nitmo? The Gemara says v'nitmo means that she's no longer allowed to remain with her husband. It says three times v'nitmo, 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 three times v'echad labal, v'echad labal, v'echad l'truma. She's not allowed to remain with her husband. He has to divorce her if she had an affair. Then she's not allowed to marry the man with whom she had the affair. And if she's a bas, if she's married to a kohen, even before the husband divorces her, she's not allowed to eat truma of, let's say she was bas kohen after the husband divorces her, since she was mizana tachas bailo, she's a zayna, she's not allowed to eat truma. So the Avnei Neis explains, what does the pasuk use an expression v'nitma for? But the Kuzari writes that tumna is always attached to the sasweth in yoni kedusha. So he says, you see from the chumash that when a couple is married, there's a concept of kedusha. The lishna that you say arei mukudeshes is a lishna derabbanan, but the concept that it represents is a concept deraisa, that there is an aspect of kedusha in the marriage. And if the woman is mizana and the halacha requires that they have to get divorced, that's called v'nitma. Tuma is attached to the sasri with kedusha. The Gemara has halachas in the first parak in kedusha. The Gemara has halachas where they're borrowing concepts from karbonis. Pashto the kedusha bekula. The Gemara talks about, Gemara wants to apply it to kedushin. So you see from the Gemara's whole discussion that the Gemara assumes it's not just a lishna derabbanan, a make believe expression that they invented midirabbanan, like koinomis. Koinomis is an expression that they invented midirabbanan. Here the expression of mikudeshes is a lishna derabbanan, but it represents a concept that is there, I said, that there is an aspect of kedusha that's introduced into the private life when a couple gets married.
Oh, yeah.
Also similar to Milo, that's right.